Navigating Hawaii's Recovery 2.0. You know, we had a conversation with former Hawaiian Electric CEO Alan Oshima back in 2020. The governor had asked him to help us look past the pandemic and re-envision a different way of doing business. We invited him back to talk about the effort to re-examine our schools. State lawmakers gave the initial nod to a school facilities agency, but with no money. State Highways Deputy Director Ed Sniffen has been tapped to be in the driver's seat. We hear about the mission and the blueprint, but first, here's Alan Oshima.
The governor asked me to help navigate. I've done that. You know, safe travels, a lot of the stuff that we've come up with. We're now going to start launching 2.0, right? The last phase of the economic recovery is resilience. And so we're trying to find federal money for that because we don't have money in the state, right? So we've applied for an EDA grant for economic transformation post-pandemic. We'll probably have an answer next week. They're reviewing the application next week. I think we have a pretty good chance for that. My role as navigator is to find the way, but I'm not driving the ship. And with this SFA that I had been working on for 12 years, now becoming reality, the governor has appointed me to be on the SFA board. And frankly, a lot of my focus as we start to organize the SFA will be to the SFA, just kind of making that clear. And I'm just so pleased that the governor asked Ed to be the director because it requires all of his tools, knowing state budget, knowing land permitting, government agencies, federal funding, all of these things all come under how we have to start up the SFA. And we've got to go out and make rulemaking and do it right. That's how I am transitioning. I will still be around, but really a lot of the impetus on 2.0, once we get it started, will be kind of self-moving with the legislature, the governor, and third parties, making sure that we get it done.
Okay, Ed, now no pressure. There's a lot riding on this agency.
It's going to be huge. This is a huge opportunity for the state to not only repurpose some of the lands to make sure that we have everything really operational, but make some significant improvements to our DOE system. The facilities themselves are going to be tremendous adds, but in addition to that, we'll be looking at facilities other than just schools to ensure that we can improve the DOE system, teacher affordable housing, community centers, and the like. All those things that support the schools are all parts of this SFA approach.
So explain to our listeners, because we've got a situation across the state where some of the land is owned by the state and some of it is owned by the county. I think the thought was there would be synergy there to site the schools next to parks so that they could use the fields, et cetera, that kind of thing. So I know there's been a back and forth between here in Honolulu, the city and county, and the state, because the state wants to develop some of these properties where we have closed down schools, you know, Liliuokalani, I think Wailupi, and it's like, what's possible?
So actually, Hawaii is one of the only places where the state runs the schools. In most jurisdictions, just the counties. So getting that back realigned again is going to be important. Act 72 allowed us, the state, to take the lands that are associated with schools from the county into state operations to ensure that we could enhance it that way. And we're still working with the city and counties to get the land transferred. It's not as simple as just having the lands transferred. We've got to get boundary surveys and agreements to get the lands to us. But they're underway at this time. When we do that, we'll get it all lined up again. Making sure that schools were near parks made total sense to ensure that the schools could take advantage of green open space for their programs. And now when we start looking at the land transfers that come through, we can see what makes the most sense. And that's what we're working with the city on, city and the counties on. And they've been tremendous partners in doing this, understanding that the vision of improving things for all of our school, our children, is super important.
By the way, I just want to make sure that there's no misunderstanding. It's not that SFA is going to take over the park. Presently, the dividing line is fine. There's city lands under the schools in some cases, and that's the part that has to be clarified, so that the parcel upon which the school resides is under one land tenure.
So I know folks have had their eyes potentially on, like, I think Kahoʻomanu, you know, because mm-hmm. they're saying that's very valuable land there in Kakaʻako, and would we be better served, you know, moving the school mm-hmm. somewhere else on either McKinley's mm-hmm. property and then developing a high-rise there? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, there's been lots of talk over mm-hmm. the many decades. But what about the concern that the public might have that, okay, if you develop a parcel, are you going to grab some of that parkland?
I don't think there's a potential for grabbing parkland. I think the synergies between city-run parks, and they have the ability to do that versus putting it in the school. I just don't think that's what's on the horizon. Ka'ahumanu, by the way, that's an excellent example of that parcel that that school sits on. Half of it is on city land. You know, there are no boundary markers, et cetera. But for this to make sense, if you have excess land available that used to be used for a school, land ownership under one landowner is really important to get developers or other users to be interested in it. So SFA has the ability to lease parcels, not to sell it, and it would work with community organizations or whomever for other uses of lands that become surplus. But only if the school is served by doing that. So the Ka'ahumanu one, we had a summit, Catherine, last November. Superintendents, two school board members, the legislators who are involved, private schools, nonprofit organizations. And it was really to say, you know, Act 155, there hadn't been significant progress on coming up with a 21st century school, a demonstration. And the end result of that was that Ka'ahumanu being moved, potentially moved to the McKinley site and then making that other land available, or rebuilding with a smaller footprint Kaimuki High School and making excess land available for other uses, were the two that were put out and said, look, why don't we let the community decide what they want? Unfortunately, I think it was not done with a lot of community engagement, and so there were some rumors going around. It was too soon without a lot of vision. But yes, those were the ones that that group decided, let's try to see what we can do.
Ed, it sounds like you've got your work cut out for you if you've got parcels where you have multiple owners and just trying to clean those situations up.
Absolutely. And the biggest partner is going to be with the city. Well, we started our conversations with the city, and we're starting to focus on the areas that were previously identified as projects that we could consider moving forward. We'll work on those properties first, to clear the ownerships, ensure that the state owns the lands associated with the school. Then we can decide how best to utilize that land and move it forward. When we do that, we'll make sure we go through a public process so everyone in the community gets to weigh in on it, to understand our thought process on how it enhances the mission of DOE, how it brings in more money or more opportunities for our educational system. And we'll make it as transparent as possible so that everybody sees how we're trying to get this done. So if people are concerned about us potentially taking parklands or other properties that are not associated with the school, they'll be involved in the process. So I'm hoping that they won't worry about that.
And so what else is on your list, your to-do list, as we launch this agency?
The first thing is to get the position funded. The legislature absolutely supports the stand-up of this SFA. They gave us the positions last year, but they're not funded yet. It's my job to justify to them which positions we should be hiring right away. And from my perspective, we need rules to make sure that the SFA can operate. We need a person in place to start setting up our budgeting, our ASO, and we need a person in place to ensure that we can get out to the public with the messaging, so PIO for that portion. During this time, I'm going to be operating as a dual appointee, I guess. I'm going to be working in the highways position that I'm in, but I'm also the admin lead for this SFA. So I'll be the de facto ED while we're setting this all up. Outside of just the setup portion, we're going to be making sure that we start getting the lands in or cleaning up the lands in these pilot areas that we'll have to consider moving forward for redevelopments or restructuring. And we'll work with the city and the counties on all of those. We'll also be setting up the plans for the future or our vision for the future so that we can send it out to the public and everybody can understand what SFA is and what we're trying to do, including working with the other departments. We're working directly with DOE right now, talk about the future CIP needs, the future needs of schools in the communities that we serve, to ensure that we're both aligned on how we approach these things. So it's a lot of fun considering what's possible, but also making sure we set up the base now for success for everybody.
The governor did talk about, you know, broadband and the direction that we need to go in. So how are we incorporating, you know, some of that into these new schools that we might be building?
Eric's working on a current project for more broadband in his role in the DOT as well. But let me just say, historically, Catherine, we've been on the broadband track looking at this whole issue, and I don't want to just be Oahu-centric, because a lot of the ideas on Oahu will not work on the neighbor islands. They have different needs. I'll just give you one example. Years ago, we visited Na'alehu, right? 100-year-old school. You know, their needs? Broadband in the community, because 100 yards off of the campus, there was no broadband. There's no ATM in that neighborhood at that time, whereas the school does have broadband. Under the SFA, could we lease a pad for a bank to install an ATM in that neighborhood? Could we authorize a neighborhood group to build an internet cafe using broadband available to the school? This opens up more community, becomes a community center, but gives them needed facilities. People in that neighborhood, when they have to take their kid to a doctor or a dentist, they have to take off from work. So it's a dual-edged sword. If we had facilities at the campus where doctors could come there on a rotating basis, it saves the community wages, et cetera. You see, there's so many things when you start looking at the issues facing different communities, how this bill could help. It's not just all broadband into a Oahu structure.
And Ed, you know, I think the last time I talked to you, we were talking about driverless cars, and you were putting in the technology across the state on different islands to make that happen.
Absolutely. And it's continuing. Technology is the future, and we need it sooner rather than later. I think everybody sees during this period how important broadband is. It's been something we talked about for the last 10 years or so, but still really haven't been able to make it go forward very quickly. What Alan spoke to is a lack of resources. So for us, from the DOT perspective, we have the resources. We have the implementation know-how, and we're going to move it forward. We've already worked with Federal Highways to ensure that they're going to support us in increasing this broadband capability and Wi-Fi capability throughout the state. The whole intent is for us to cover our system, our roadways, our highways, our local roads, to make sure that everything is connected on the highway system. So we can control any intersection we need. We can put cameras on any portion of the route we need. We can put data collection devices throughout, and we're ready for connected autonomous vehicles as we come through. So that gives us the most efficient system. When we set up this broadband wireless mesh, there's going to be bleed outs into the community. Mm-hmm. We're going to push that out. We're going to put more equipment out into the communities to ensure that we cover everything with a free statewide managed Wi-Fi.
So, Alan, from you, where you sit, that access is tied to this then?
Yeah, I mean, it's a facilitator. When you start getting into each community, you'll find different needs can be addressed given the abilities of the SFA. But you have to have those discussions. You have to engage with the community.
As far as then the bills that are up this session...
Yep, the bills reestablish what SFA does, what its roles and responsibilities will be, and the rules by which it would follow in order to get those things done. We really appreciate the adjustments and amendments that the legislature is putting in and the support for the authority that they're putting in.
Let me just say, you know, when we became a state, that's when they transferred all the schools to the state entity, right? Before the counties built them and, you know, it was county rule. They just forgot to transfer land ownership, but the counties get no benefit of the lands that are under the schools right now. There's no real estate tax base, et cetera. What this might offer is independent of who owns it, if some of the uses become productive, the counties then get a real estate tax base. So even if you had a senior living home, for example, sitting on some excess land that used to be an open field next to a school, that becomes real estate tax base. So, you know, there's synergies here for both the counties and the state, but for us to move kind of in the same direction. But there's benefits to the counties as well.
Okay, so you're basically asking folks to approach this idea with an open mind and see what's possible.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. We're really excited about it, about the opportunities that we have in front of us to improve the educational experiences of our kids, make things easier for our teachers, and potentially bring in additional funding to hopefully pay our teachers what they're worth.
I want people to really identify with their neighborhood schools like I did. I mean, we've got to rebuild that connection, and each school needs to reflect the community. So that's what our hope is as we move forward.
That was former Hawaiian Electric CEO Alan Oshima and DOT's Highways Director Ed Sniffen talking about the state's new school facilities agency as part of the 2.0 recovery plan. The House bill on the school agency gets its first hearing this session later today. The Senate bill has yet to be scheduled.